I'm still Timothy Nielsen, fellow at the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. And so in the previous presentation, I talked about maternal deaths, but now I want to take one step down sort of the pyramid, if you would, of these negative outcomes. Because in the United States, you know, approximately 100 women are estimated to suffer severe morbidities related to pregnancy for every maternal death that occurs. And because maternal death itself, thankfully, is a rare event, there's been a focus to move more to talking about severe maternal morbidities as sentinel events of particular interest. Unfortunately, recent work at the Massachusetts Department of Health has found that severe morbidity is increasing among Massachusetts deliveries. And work at the national level has shown that a large proportion of severe morbidity occurs among deliveries at low and average risk for adverse maternal outcomes. So this graph shows a distribution of a risk factor among a theoretical population. The y-axis is the number of individuals, and the x-axis is a continuum of risk. This graph shows that a small number of people are at low or high risk for an adverse health outcome, and that the majority of people are at some average amount of risk. So according to the epidemiologist Jeffrey Rose, who argued that a small to average individual level of risk can account for a large population burden of disease compared to burden among individuals at high risk. This is because, as shown by the dashed gray lines, there are many more people of low to average risk than there are at high risk. So the implications of a population health perspective on severe morbidities in pregnancy include that all delivery facilities, including those that care for low-risk women, need to be prepared to care for life-threatening maternal health emergencies or to transfer individuals to facilities that are better equipped to provide appropriate care, and that population-level interventions could be needed to address the rising rates of morbidity in pregnancy. Applying Rose's principle of population health to Massachusetts mothers, then we hypothesized that low and average risk pregnancies in Massachusetts would have the lowest rates of severe morbidity, but that a large proportion of pregnancies complicated by severe morbidity would occur among women of low to average risk for these adverse outcomes. Thus, we first sought to determine the proportion and rate of severe morbidity among low and average risk deliveries in Massachusetts, and second, to assess the burden of risk among deliveries and its trends over time. Now, to accomplish this, we used the data from the delivery hospitalizations contained in the Massachusetts Pregnancy to Early Life Longitudinal Data System, or PEL. And PEL links infant birth certificates and fetal death records with their corresponding maternal delivery hospitalizations and infant birth hospitalizations. And this system contains forced vital records data, hospital discharge data for delivery hospitalizations occurring in Massachusetts to Massachusetts resident women. So for our study, we began with all PEL delivery hospitalizations for years 1998 through 2013. Then we applied an index to measure maternal risk for each delivery hospitalization. Then we applied an algorithm to identify which delivery hospitalizations were affected by severe morbidity. And then our final data set contained delivery hospitalizations with two new variables, one a measure of risk, and one indicated whether or not the delivery was complicated by severe morbidity. So first, let's talk about how we operationalize risk. So we used a previously published and validated obstetric comorbidity index that predicted severe maternal health outcomes. And this algorithm assigns a score to an individual delivery hospitalization based on the presence of 20 pre-existing conditions and maternal age. Examples of such conditions include asthma, placenta previa, previous cesarean delivery. The conditions are identified using ICD-9 codes, and obviously maternal age is taken from the delivery information. So each condition is assigned a score from 1 to 5, and then based on maternal age, delivery will also get value of 0, 1, 2, or 3. And a higher score is more predictive of an adverse outcome. For example, severe preeclampsia is assigned a score of 5, while previous cesarean is just assigned a score of 1. So for individual delivery, hospitalizations can obviously have more than one pre-existing condition. So for each delivery, these individual condition scores are summed. Each delivery hospitalization is then assigned a final score that ranges from 0 to 45. So now we've talked about how we measured maternal risk. Let's talk about how we measured severe maternal morbidity. So her severe maternal outcomes were operationalized by, again, another previously published algorithm using a different set of diagnosis codes and procedure codes that indicate the occurrence of a potentially life-threatening condition, complication, or life-saving procedure. This includes 25 indicators of severe morbidity, for example, pulmonary edema or hysterectomy, and the blood transfusion indicator was removed from our algorithm in this case because of ongoing concerns regarding its specificity for severe morbidity. And for those of you who are familiar, this is the standard CDC SMM 2524. And in our case, we used SMM 24 without blood transfusion. So moving on to our results, this table shows us selected demographic characteristics for the little more than 1 million delivery hospitalizations in Pell during this time period. 22.1% of women were aged 35 years or older. 60.7% of hospitalizations were billed to private insurance, and 68.6% of women identified as non-Hispanic white. So now we're going to go through a series of graphs, and it's a lot of graphs, I apologize, but I think each is valuable. First, we have a chart that shows the number of delivery hospitalizations by comorbidity index score in Massachusetts during our study period. So on the y-axis, we have the delivery hospitalization count, and on the x-axis, we have a comorbidity score. In this case, we have 58% of our hospitalizations had a score of 0. So this next chart, again, we keep our counts there in gray, but we're also adding here severe morbidity rate per 10,000 delivery hospitalizations. Now, delivery hospitalizations with a score of 0 made up 30% of all delivery hospitalizations affected by severe morbidity, and 51%. I jumped ahead on myself. So here we see cases with a higher comorbidity index score do have our higher rates of severe morbidity. So moving on to next chart here, we still have our count. That's shown in gray. But now our brown line shows the count of total delivery hospitalizations with severe morbidity on the secondary y-axis. So now, despite having the lowest rates, delivery hospitalizations with an index score of 0 made up 30% of all delivery hospitalizations affected by severe morbidity, and 51% had a score of 1 or 0. So next here we have the overall severe morbidity rate shown in dark gray and a mean comorbidity index in dark blue by year among delivery hospitalizations in Massachusetts during this period. The primary y-axis is the morbidity rate per 10,000 delivery hospitalizations, and the secondary y-axis is mean comorbidity index score. You can see both the rate and the index score increased over time, and we had the comorbidity index score increased from 0.6 to 0.82 at the end of the time period. So this is the final graph, I promise. This graph shows the proportion of delivery hospitalizations by comorbidity index score. And between 1998 and 2013, you see the proportion of hospitalizations with a score of 0 fell, and the rising mean comorbidity score shown in the previous graph is due to a decrease in this proportion with a score of 0 and an increase in those with a score of 1 or greater. So we can think about this in some ways. If we had our average distribution of risk in the population, we're seeing it shift to the right. And this has potential for some dramatic effects. In conclusion, we have a large proportion of deliveries in Massachusetts that were low, among low to average risk women, but this small risk spread over a large population accounted for a large proportion of delivery hospitalizations complicated by severe morbidities. The statewide population of women given birth has become riskier over time. Two strengths of the study included the conversion of categorical risk factors into a continuous spectrum of risk, allowing for stratification of the entire population on a single variable. And we're using data from the entire state, capturing nearly all delivery hospitalizations. And some limitations, the comorbidity index we've described here is based strictly on the concept of medical risk. We did not capture environmental or social determinants of health related risk factors. And both the index and comorbidity algorithm are reliant on hospital discharge coding, which I'm sure we're all aware has a number of limitations. There are several implications to this work. First, as I had mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, because a large proportion of our severe outcomes occurred in women with little to no identifiable medical risk factors, all birth facilities should be prepared to care for women suffering from adverse maternal outcomes. And second, population-level strategies in Massachusetts could be used to shift the number of low-risk pregnancies back towards previous levels in an effort to decrease morbidity in pregnancy. And you know, while it's important that we're making sure we're providing the best care possible to women who are at high risk, we should also consider that if we have the ability to lower risk in a large portion of the population, even by a little bit, that can have dramatic impact. As part of our next steps, we're diving deeper to investigate the conditions that are behind this increase in the average comorbidity index. This information hopefully will let us identify most prudent health issues to address in an effort to shift our curve back to the left. We have intention to conduct subpopulation analysis of risk distribution, such as by birth hospital level, indicators of health equity. We also have interest in looking at whether or not the SMM events that occur among low-risk women are different than among high-risk women. In that case, hopefully we can talk to providers who deal mostly with low-risk women to give them more specific information about severe morbidity. So with that, again, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors at the Department of Public Health, our PEL epidemiologist, and then the assistance of Dave Goodman at CDC. So thank you very much. Sure, and that you got right to one of the things that I think is maybe one of the limitations. So the comorbidity index was published, work by named Brian Bateman, who's a physician at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. And because it relies on ICD codes, and because the ICD codes for obesity are not used particularly often, there was some concerns about the accuracy of those. It does not take into account obesity. One thing that we had considered doing was incorporating it because we do have BMI through our additional records and part of Pell. Our thought, at least at first, was to use this index because it has been validated in sort of large sets of records, both in the U.S. and in Canada. But it's a very good point. You know, obviously obesity is plays a major role, and hopefully we can look at that. Sure, definitely. Thank you.
Hi, Timothy. In further analyses, it might be interesting to look at areas outside of Boston to see if they differ in some way, either to distance to a facility or type of care that women may actually receive in their own community.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Sure, sure. And in this analysis, Pell includes the whole state. But you're definitely looking at the difference between, for those not familiar with Massachusetts, we have all of our big academic level 3 hospitals, most of them are in Boston. Like a lot of states, the east part of Massachusetts is very different than the west part of Massachusetts. So looking at region, and then I think also talking about distance between, mom's residence and the hospital, something to consider as well.
We have time for a very fast, very fast question.
Do you have a morbidity score, and it's a spectrum, it's not 8, right?
Yes.
Do you think the rising trend also has to do with a trend to give birth in later maternal age?
Sure. So Massachusetts has, in general, has an older average maternal age than other parts of the country. So one, benefit of the comorbidity index is we can kind of standardize across because it does include age and these other characteristics. But I think one sort of limitation is a woman who has a score of 1 based on age is different than a woman who has a score of 1 because of a certain condition. So it's kind of hard to control for age since it's built into the index score. But we are looking at sort of individual drivers of that score. Just from some of the preliminary stuff we've done, we've seen age has gone up, but the actual age contribution to the score hasn't changed so much, just in how some of the population has shifted around. But we don't know necessarily if it's becoming bimodal over time or if the whole population is shifting up. Sorry, I'm probably going into way too much detail of this. But yes, that's something that's certainly possible, and we know maternal age is something that we really try to consider in Massachusetts just because our mothers tend to be older than mothers in other parts of the country.
Great. Thank you.